Hello, Dreamers. This is Janine.
And Stephanie.
And welcome to the 15th version of the Course of Course podcast, our second in 2015. So a lot of things happened this week. I think I'm going to jump right in and talk about some interesting situations I had at work when I realized that not only is the course really changing the way I'm interacting with people at work, but it's helping me transform some of my old behaviors. I've had an issue with someone that I would call my slow burn. We've talked about people in our life that are slow burns. This one has a pretty significant role in my work life. This week was no exception in terms of dealing with these opportunities. This particular one reflected back, I suppose, at me that I was not necessarily paying attention or I'm not very smart and that kind of thing. It was very surprising, but it has been a bit of a pattern. I don't agree with any of it, you know, as I'm being passerby, as the course would say. But I thought it fascinating that I'm really starting to at least be able to step aside and be like, well, that's not me. That's not me. That's not my stuff. And I'm going to forgive it as it's happening. That isn't easy, I think, for a lot of us. We're so used to that immediate automatic reaction, emotional, verbal, how dare you say that? That's not true. You know, you're wrong. That kind of thing. The second occurrence that happened, not necessarily at work, but it was like a family situation where I was confronted with something else. And I thought, I have to get out of this mode because I felt like I was just recycling the same kind of behavior pattern and the same reaction to a situation that didn't need to continue on. Honestly, it was just one of those things. And I think we all go through that with our families or our friends where there's some issue that just constantly perpetuates. And if we don't disengage from it, then it will go on until something happens to stop it, for us to arrest the situation in some way and be able to transform it to a more positive one. So that was a lot. Stephanie, what about you? How was your week?
It was a busy one. I feel exhausted. I feel a little detached from the course. Like I haven't been able to do my normal thing, but also listening to Gary's podcast, and he does talk about, you know, making it work for you and not judging yourself. Am I doing it right? And I've had more time. So I was, you know, into a certain rhythm, and I'm finding that rhythm being upset. Like I don't have the time like I did. So I'm just kind of coming to my own balance and understanding and forgiveness of, you know, I can read my lesson a couple times a day. I tried meditating the other night and I fell asleep for like an hour sitting in the chair. I came in and out a couple times with, you know, Holy Spirit be with me now, but I'm tired. So some of the things I'm getting from the podcast, one of them was around the sameness. And I realized that I am more present to forgiving things that aren't going well, but not so much forgiving things that are going well, or the beautiful things, not forgiving those, and just remembering that we need to forgive it all, good and the bad. And the bad's generally what's easier to forgive. It was kind of interesting that I'm in chapter 17, I think it was 16:17 of the text, and running across the Lord's Prayer. Like, oh, I've seen this in the, you know, Gary's book. I have it typewritten. I actually brought it home. I'm going to try and memorize it to replace the other Lord's Prayer that I have memorized and usually say all the time. But I feel like that's an ego-based prayer, and I want to be coming from a different point of view. In the new version of the Lord's Prayer, it talks more about illusions and forgiving the illusions and knowing that there's a stop, like we're either in truth or illusion in the oneness that we are. I was talking to a friend the other night at dinner. He was visiting and he's read Gary's book. And so I was trying to have a lively conversation about everything about the course because it's everything to me right now. And he's definitely into spirituality. And he was going on about having a 4-hour conversation with this guy who we kind of looked at as a guru in our life, that's a friend of ours. And when I asked them if he could share what it was that he was learning from him and what his idea was or his philosophy was, he was just saying it was too complicated. And I just find it hard to believe that someone could read Gary's book and not be inspired to want to read his second book and his third book and read Alex's book, which I also have given him, or want to pick up the course. Like, he's still doing a whole nother path. Obviously, it's forgiveness, like just allowing him to be where he is. But it's mind-blowing to think that someone, for me at least, that could read the book and not get blown away like I did and not want to jump up and, like, take it all in.
I agree. I'm like that, too. I am blown away with those who may have read the first book or haven't quite gotten through the first book, because we talked about this in previous podcasts, that the book has changed our life. That's Disappearance of the Universe. And because it was so profound, it really was the impetus for us to continue on with this journey. If we hadn't read DU, I don't know if this was the time we would have done it. To me, it was like the perfect storm of opportunity and our openness and our interest and desire to learn more about this. I really feel like we kind of blossomed at the same time with this work, but we both know a few people who have opened up Disappearance of the Universe and didn't finish it or didn't really listen to it on audio all the way through. And we were both like confused, like, well, this doesn't make any sense. This was the best thing ever in our lives. It changed everything, and you're not following through on that. And I talked to you off mic about talking to someone who seemed to be confronted with it. And, you know, I just want to embrace them and be like, it's okay, you don't have to read it, but I'm still astounded that they weren't as fixated on it as we have been. I do want to talk a little about my significant other. I've talked briefly about him before, and we had an issue for maybe a 24-hour period. It was really a misunderstanding, and how the course really helped me work through that. From that misinterpretation, I went on an emotional journey that was not exactly pleasant. I got very sad, and, you know, I cried and did that whole, oh no, doesn't love me, that kind of thing, which was ridiculous. And I used the Holy Spirit to kind of pull me out of it. And it was the first time, I was explaining to you earlier that I've had many relationships, but this is the first time when a similar situation occurred that I didn't go off like for days and weeks, you know, whining and crying. I basically asked the Holy Spirit for help, and I kind of got through it within a 24-hour period, only to learn the next day that I completely misinterpreted what he had sent me. And the whole thing was ridiculous and childish, but it was a really nice kind of lesson for me, and really highlighted the fact that something's happening with me in the course. It's definitely helping, and I'm really grateful that that situation occurred, because now I look at it and go, okay, I got through that pretty quickly. And it was clearly my own kind of confusion and misinterpretation. So if this happens again, it's going to be a lot easier for me to go, I've already gone through this, come on, let's put this in the proper perspective. It was not the emotional, oh my gosh, situation I've been in the past, when the course wasn't with me and I felt like, you know, my ego and my emotions were really carrying me away to a place I shouldn't have gone to. So there's so many blessings I've had, understanding and being awakened to the course. And I think part of that is our excitement that we want others to really get into it and read the Gary material and listen to the course, you know, audio, or do the workbook exercises. Not everybody's ready. And like, I don't want to put myself on a pedestal because I don't belong there. And it can be a struggle for me as well. So I understand the reticence of people, but I also want to somehow gently kind of nudge them this way if they're open to it and if it's the right opportunity for them to go there.
Somewhere in the chapters I was reading, they were talking a lot about the past and the future and just how our meaning-making machines, our egos, are always, you know, taking us in the past. We're reliving things, reviewing things, and it just keeps us in the crazy mode. And actually, that's what they were speaking about with the special relationship, and that the purpose of that is to occupy our mind so completely that you will not hear the call of truth. I've identified that my slow burn is my special relationship in this lifetime, and that I am getting a second opportunity under very similar circumstances to do it again, to try it again. And so far at the beginning, I mean, my life has definitely speed up. The intensity has sped up, but I feel that my point of view of it is different. And so far it's been pretty okay. I just want to keep giving it up to the Holy Spirit, Jesus, HSJ.
Thank you for bringing up special relationships, because I think it's a really interesting path to go down. So the difference, listeners, as you know, I'm sure, on your path, the holy relationship is what we really want. That's when we're in a relationship with someone or something or whatever that helps us transcend, that really focuses on the God amongst us and within us. Special relationships are different. You can have a special love relationship, but it's not a holy one. We are confronted and we embrace at the same time these special relationships, and they're all over. The ideal is to transform them into holy relationships as often as we can. That's not always that easy, And especially in this third dimension crazy planet that we're on, we have these special relationships with work colleagues or bosses, or, you know, it could just be a relationship, like a love relationship or a friendship or whatever. It seems, speaking for myself, that I have quite a few special relationships, but I don't have a whole lot of holy relationships. And now that I'm working through the difference, I'm embracing the ones that I would say is a holy relationship and saying, okay, well, how come this is holy? I think we talk about parents with children and how, you know, it's unconditional love and all that kind of stuff, and it's more like a holy relationship because there isn't all this other stuff going on. I don't know if that's really the case. I think ideally it makes sense, but I don't know if I really see that. There's a lot of family dysfunction out there anyway, but I can definitely see that that would be one area that might be an easier path to being a holy relationship. I think there are quite a few special relationships with marriages where they care for one another, but they're not really transcending together. They're not really coming to that place where they can recognize God within each other. So as we move forward, that's really the goal. I'm not there yet with my significant other, but I'm so grateful that I'm now understanding the difference. And that's a huge difference between a special relationship and a holy relationship. And now understanding, well, the special relationship, it could be a special love relationship, a special hate relationship. And at work, I think I have more special hate relationships, if I'm going to be honest, than I have special love relationships. But those hate relationships are really helping me as much as they're painful, really painful. They do at least give me some nugget of hope that I can start to transform these things. But this isn't, I mean, that's really the miracle. That's really where the miracle is. It's the transformation. For me, sometimes I feel like that miracle is too far away. I'm nowhere near close to transforming some of these, but at least I understand that it could be done. Before the course came into my life, I didn't really understand the distinction. I didn't know there was a distinction. To me, it was like a big mess and people were mean and I don't know why. And now I'm starting to understand, well, mean is subjective and they're really reflecting back at me, which is something that I can understand that many people don't want to deal with. I mean, who wants to be confronted with that? Somebody who's so mean, maybe just reflecting back at you something about you. Nobody wants to hear that.
Which is a good segue into Princess Kitty. So at work, I'm on the edge of a residential neighborhood, and there's just a iron gate so cats can go back and forth. And we have about a dozen feral cats in our area. And one, Princess, he's kind of like the king of the area. And he hangs out with me all day long and inside the bungalow. But there's a new kitty that's come in who's twice the size of him. And they have been getting in brawls. I think it was Thursday when it was a knockdown dragout fight. And it was so painful for me to see the fur flying, the blood. I tried to pour water on them. They ran under a car. They were moaning at each other. It stuck with me. And I just got that, you know, this is clearly something the ego's created to keep me away from God. I prayed in the moment, like, please help me with these cats. In my urban gardening classes, we were talking about every single day the female hens have to work out the pecking order. Every single day, someone has to be in charge and fight for it. And it's just weird, and it blows my mind how this just happens. And for me, it feels like a lot of energy. And right now, I'm just trying to stay in that status quo, that try and give it up to God, try and see the sameness of everything, try and ride above the battleground, and just try not to take it so internally and make the meaning-making machine spin me out, and just stay in the now and not think about the past, how bad it went with this person, and future is not going to be any worse. Just stay in the moment and just let it unfold and try and be more in the causing instead of at the effect. That's something I've been working on.
I like when you say meaning making machine. I think that comes to us from Landmark Education, right? But it's completely apt, I think, with the course and what we're going through. But you're right. I mean, this is such an elaborate dream and it's so layered, and it comes across like with your two cats going at it. Like, what was the reason for that? And the constant competition of nature in general. None of this is real, but wow, the ego has such a hold. You don't really think about the ego in terms of nature or whatever, but I'm sure there's a part of that, whatever it's called, that is in existence for these other organisms. Something's up. What I don't understand, and I think all the course students in the beginning are a little lost on this part, is, why do we have to go through this? It's like, we recognize the fact that we want to ascend. We don't want to come back here again. This is not something we want. We have heard and we have read that sometimes when souls, I'm just going to use the word soul, passes away and leaves their body, then they jump back in another body. I don't want to do that in any way. I don't want to come back down here. I don't like it. So I want to do whatever I can to make sure that I don't have to. But man, why is it that this journey can be so painful? All I want to do is go back to God. I know that sounds a little airy-fairy and new agey and all that kind of stuff, but I have no interest in doing this again. I recognize the fact that there's a lot of lifetimes that are going on simultaneously because time doesn't really exist. I get that. But I want to cease it. I want to do what I can, when I can, to ensure that this lovely dream that we're dreaming, I have a different one outside of time, outside of space, where Gary's Art and Persa are right now. But also being able to say, okay, on a daily basis, on a moment's notice, this doesn't exist. This doesn't exist. This is a dream. When you're at the gas station, you're pumping gas and somebody's yelling at you because they want to get to the pump or whatever, it's not that easy to be like, oh, it's just a dream, Janine, it's just a dream, no big deal. So it's that vigilance that the Course keeps talking about that I'm doing a little better with, but I'm definitely not there. I was watching on YouTube some video. Ken Wapnick was talking about different parts of the Course, and there's quite a bit of YouTube videos out there if anyone wants to check those out. I also listened to the audio recording of Helen Schuckman, which was nice too, just hearing her voice. You hear these students and they're asking these great questions to Ken Wapnick. And I thought, wow, I mean, this guy is a master teacher. And I think Gary had mentioned that Art and Persa had said that Ken Wapnick was the best teacher for the course. I can see that. I could definitely acknowledge that in what he was saying to his students in some of these YouTube videos. For us, because we have more accessibility to Gary Bernard, he's kind of like our guy. You know, he's our teacher. He's the one that kind of walks the talk, and certainly Cindy as well. I think we talked about this before. These two are really ascended, and I totally get the fact that they're pretty much almost done with their journey. A great gift to us if they do decide to continue on in the Art and Persa lifetime.
I think that those two are a good example of a holy relationship. It is possible, but I don't think there's very many of them around. People who are aware and on the same page, that's a lot to ask for.
I think the odds of finding somebody else who is going through the course, who understands the course, to find them and link up with them and find that holy relationship, wow. I mean, that really is hitting the lottery. That's better than hitting the lottery, actually. We all have coupled up with people for whatever reason. Like, we think they're really cute or they're funny or whatever, but it's still a special relationship. It's not a holy relationship. Maybe that could happen. So we'll see.
I was just thinking that on relationship, I haven't had very many in this lifetime. And I kind of am okay with that. I know it would have taken me down a different path, so I can get that it is all scripted. And just letting it unfold however the script is, that it is a third dimension thing that we're supposed to be partnered up. It may or may not happen for me. You know, sure, there's a part of me that really would like that. And I feel like there's these little teases that cross my path where someone like leans in and wants to kiss me, you know, and it's like, oh, that was really nice. But, you know, this person is not on my path. And yes, I could go, but that's not what my goal is anymore. It's my mind and undoing the ego is foremost.
Martin Luther King was a visionary. Not only did he have a dream, he had a purpose. And I think the purpose of us in this lifetime and in this podcast is to do what we can to continue on the work of the Course in Miracles and let people know that you can do this. Just normal people can pick up a book and look at it and take it in and say, you know what? Even though I'm dreaming my current lifetime, it all goes into the goal, the overarching goal of going back to God. I believe that Martin Luther King did. And I think having lived at least in this lifetime for a few years while he also walked this earth, I feel really, really grateful for that. One of those inspirational situations in history where I think you can see a human being talk about, not necessarily in course terms, but in poetic terms, that you can have a dream and that dream could be going back to God. So on that note, thank you very much, everyone. We will be back for the Course of Course podcast number 16 next week. Have a good night.